Toronto, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, FM 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right.
All over the country.
Everywhere.
Every continent.
Everywhere. There's a satellite link somewhere. 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we also archive all the shows there. You can just hit the on demand button. We are on each and every Monday for the last forever at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, after the show, we share all the pictures and a little brief summary of the format, and then also the airing of the show as well. So you always be able to download it from our website, SitaMediaInc.com, or any one of the social media channels attached to that. What a great show we have planned today.
That's right. I do. So for listeners who are just tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, on Mondays, Ellen O'Neill, Ali Tamber, and Danny and I sit here in the station, and we talk to people right here in Brevard County, Florida, people in the state of Florida, in the world, actually, all 50 states. Whether you want to write a book, sell a book, open a business, running for office, information about voting, whatever it is, we give you a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, whether it's clean air, water, sunshine, tons of nonprofits. And we've been really, really blessed that our show is actually booking up for the month of May. So people like us, Danny likes us. He wouldn't let us leave the studio. We can't get out of this contract with
Never.
This show. So we're here for what? One more year, Danny?
Oh, for the rest of our lives.
Okay. Till I turn 65 and get a Medicare, I suppose. So anyway, so we talk to people about whatever's going on in our world, and today's no different. We've got a repeat guest who's calling back second segment. Dr. Guy Puvindran is calling in to talk about regenerative medicine, and he'll talk to us, I suppose, in between patients. As you know, Ellen, his mom is a really good friend of mine that I made in Indiana.
Yes.
And that's how I am, very loyal to my friends, right?
Yep.
Our first segment is with our good friends here, right here from Brevard County, Florida. We've got a beautiful mandir. It's what we call, it's a place of worship that Hindus worship at. And they're putting on India Fest, which is actually going on 30 years. We've got Nina here, the chairperson, Rashmi Shah, and Yasmin Majid. They're all good friends of mine, Ellen, and we'll be asking them a few questions about India Fest and the causes and how it got started and all that good stuff. So I don't know if, Danny, have you ever been to India Fest? Well, this is your turn to learn about it and show up. All right. So you have?
I have, great.
Absolutely. So we'll start
with
Nina.
I have an outfit now.
Okay,
that's
right.
I actually have an official outfit.
Yes, you do.
Now.
You're kind of Indian now. So, of course, I've been. I like it. I think it's a wonderful festival that they do right here in Brevard, in addition to so many other things. And so we'll talk to Nina first and ask her a little bit about India Fest and how you got started in it.
Namaste. My name is Nina Gadodia. I moved to this wonderful county called Brevard County, which is a hidden gem, in 1990. And found out that although it's a very small community, but have all people of the world represented here because it's Space Coast, and every country has somebody or else working here. That gave me an idea that we should get together and do something together and teach each other about our culture in a fun way, so we become closer and can understand and make a cohesive society.
Yes. And so then we'll talk to Rashmi next. What is it about you and your family that you said, this is something that I am going to throw my weight behind? Because you all are very generous and bravado, but this is something that near and dear to you and Mr. Shah, and you guys decided you've been with it for a long, and you guys haven't stopped.
I have joined the India First from a day one when Nina started, and I love to be the part of it because it is a lot of, you can represent the Indian culture and Indian food and everything. And I did contact a lot of sponsors that time, and a lot of them are from day one there. And every year we have a few new ones. So we have the big.
So you get a lot of people to get involved.
Yeah.
And Yasmin, you and I, we come from the Caribbean, of course. I don't know what Guyana is considered anymore. Is it the Caribbean?
It's Caribbean. It's West Indian.
Yeah. and so for us, you know, our forefathers came from India and settled in the West Indies, and so many people died on that ship coming from India in the 1800s. I want to say 1845.
Yep.
But the one thing they brought with them was, you know, their chulha, their dhoti,
culture,
their drums,
religion,
you know, yeah. Hinduism, Islam, the Quran, they had the Ramayana, and they brought with them culture.
Correct.
And so you got involved too because you wanted to spread the culture and keep the culture and instill it in the young people as well as people right here in Brevard and whoever shows up.
Absolutely. When Nina contacted me to get involved, I had just had my baby. He was less than a year old. He's now 27. So
oh
I've been with I've been with India First all that time. I thought I was very Indian because, you know, growing up back home in Guyana, we had all the cultures were there: Christianity, Hinduism, Muslim. And we had a very harmonious relationship amongst ourselves in the population. So I thought I was very Indian. But then when I met Nina and her gathering, her group, I realized there was so much that I don't know. So this was an opportunity for me
to learn and grow.
To learn and grow. And I always say I've become more Indian here in Brevard County than I was back home.
Yeah, well, Nina has that way, that effect on everyone.
Absolutely.
Because we can feel it. It's a lot of warmth. Kimberly did, and I did too. And one of the admirable things about India First is how much you give back to the community. So talk to us, Nina, a little bit about all the nonprofits and charitable donations that India First makes right here in Brevard.
Absolutely. So first of all, I would say then when I thought of starting India First, my two main goals were to give a sense of pride to our American-born Indian children, that they have something to bring to the table and they don't feel outsider. And the second thing was to bring all the community at large, closer together and live harmoniously with them, learn from them and teach them. But the kind of support from day one we got from the community at large, we became philanthropic.
Right.
Because so many sponsors, and thanks to Rashmi and other people in the community, Dr. Sumitra and all of them helping in spreading the word and people believing in us and giving us sponsorship, none of us are paid. So
it
that
is a work
money,
of love, yes.
Yes, everybody is a volunteer. So that money we wanted to, after spending on the show, we wanted to give back to the community. Up till now, we have given $1.4 million back to the our community as well as national and international disaster relief.
Wow, that deserves a drum roll, Ellen.
Absolutely. And on IndiaFestBrevard.org, which is the website, if you look at the charities supported, it is like there is a list. So it's not just one particular charity. It really does. It helps every facet, from candlelighters to a Brevard to the hurricane
relief. Right, and that brings us to our next question, Rashmi. How do you all decide which charity to support at any given time? Is there like a committee and people have to apply, or how do you decide? Yeah,
normally, as a chair, we get together and then we decide which charity, and then we study also a little bit, this charity is worth it or not, and then we can make a decision every year that which charity we're going to sponsor.
Yeah. And Yasmin, so IndiaFest has something for everyone. Lots of hands-on activities from the little children to the adults. So talk to us a little bit about the activities.
IndiaFest is probably one of the only, if not, the only festival that really has a theme every year. And the theme always exhibits a part of Indian culture,
geography,
history, that kind of stuff. This year we're doing the Festivals of India. It promises to be a very exciting event, showing Diwali and Holi and all of that. Our stage event all day will display much of our theme. The youth booth, we have a youth booth and a discovery.
Cute.
Yes, we have a booth, really a three-faceted booth. The youth discovery booth, which really will have all sorts of hands-on, displays and educational information about the festivals of India this year. Then attached to that will be our youth booth, and they will have all sorts of activities for the young ones, little kids to teenagers,
right.
Hands-on activities. Of course, we won't forget the little ones who just wants to jump and have a great time. We'll have
a bounce house
and all of that for them.
Like my grandson.
There you go.
So Nina, we live in times when, I mean, there are so many people that we know here in Brevard and around the world that can't even afford a passport, because people have to put food on the table. They have to pay rent, car payment, insurance, send kids to school. At the end of the day, a lot of people don't have a couple thousand dollars to buy a ticket to India or Europe or anywhere else and get a passport. And it seems to me like you all are bringing India to the people. Because technology has changed so much stuff. You could go on YouTube and you could watch stuff. You could watch a movie and see what's going on. And people hear things about India. But India is so diverse and has so many mother tongues, right? Different areas, they speak differently. So talk to our listening audience here on Viewpoint, Seed and Friends, about some of the beautiful things that you bring to us here in Brevard about India.
Absolutely. So as Yasmin just said, that we are one of the only festival which has a theme of the year. And the reason for that is because India's culture is so vast, many different languages, many different, cultures, many different religions. So what we focus on is one aspect of India every year, and we try to showcase it in our Discover India booth. We many times have activities where people can participate, like this year in our festivals, people will have the chance to participate in it and try to figure out what it is. Then youth have hands-on activities with something to do with their theme and related to India. So they learn a lot without preaching. Other thing is the stage show, like she mentioned, are all volunteer based.
Right, and different outfits too. And they represent different parts of India as well.
So we don't hire performers for it. All the thing is homegrown. The kids here, and they don't have to be Indians. kids or adults, we have so many people participating, learning dances, learning how to do different kind of activities.
Yeah, and they love it. I noticed a lot of Americans were in it last time. Like,
correct.
Like, you know, the Windians. Madison is a Windian. A lot of Windians, white and Indian.
Yeah, I get it.
A lot of white. And James said to Maddie yesterday, she was practicing for an Indian dance for something at Vieira High School. And he says, I want to be in that dance too. He's jumping around. He doesn't know what he's doing. But I think it's really nice that you bring the culture to us. Because they have like German Fest and they have other Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. And I just went to the Renaissance Festival, mm-hmm. and I was dressed up
beautiful.
As a lady from the Renaissance. Of course, they didn't have Indian curry back then. I kind of said they did. But so it's good that you do that, that you bring it to us.
Thank you. And I think that's the main purpose. We want our neighbors, our non-Indian neighbors and friends, and our American-born Indian children to have that. As you said, not everybody can travel, time and money restrictions and many other things. So I appreciate when a German fest and other fest happen. I would love to go there and learn about it.
Yeah.
And we do the same. And that's why we have the different teams. And the thing is, you know, until you know about something, You are afraid of it or hate it.
Right.
World has become so close because of technology that what happens in Bangladesh affects England as much as America and vice versa. So it's always good to know about it, and we can
your own opinions.
Influence each other so much by technology. Then why don't we bring our hearts together? Why don't we try to understand each other and become one?
Right.
And that's the reason we try to bring as many aspects or as many things about India right here for everybody to enjoy and understand.
And participate.
And that's how I felt when I went there, because I said my experience with India has been Slumdog Millionaire, right? Like that was my education on what it was like to be a child in India. Mm. And it was nothing like that. When I went to the festival, it was like I got an overall awakening of things. And I have so many friends that celebrate Diwali and so many of the festivals and the, you know, and all the celebrations and so forth, that I was like, I want to know more. So after my experience with India Fest, it was like every year I felt a little
more
closer. Well, a little closer to understanding a little bit more about the culture, because
Thank you, Ellen, for saying that.
Yeah.
And so many non-Indians friends who came as a visitor and now they are the participants.
Right, they come, they're repeat guests.
They're participants. They are volunteers. They are in a committee. They are our sponsors because they appreciate that.
Right. And I think one of the great things about, and I'm not saying this because my heritage is Indian, but when I was younger, my dad would take us to the temple. We'd be like, why do we have to go every single Sunday? And, you know, you had to take a bath, get your flowers, make these little garlands, whatever. And we wanted to be more Americanized. You know, it would be like Farrah Fawcett, right? You know, Trinidad had a great Western influence. And so we grew up going to the temples, but we tried to skip. And I went, of course, to look at the boys. You know, that was my thing. And so the thing is, we grew up with Indian culture. And mm-hmm. I didn't like it as much back then because we were so highly Westernized with skin color and who was light, who was dark, this, that, and the next. But as I get older, I have to say, older, bolder, and wiser, I absolutely love the Indian culture, the whole culture of India, exported all over the Caribbean and Europe. You go to England, I was there when I went, it was chicken tikka masala was the number one dish, right? And I'm like, my dad was right. He did say, you know, how influenced this culture was. And so I feel like when we go to India Fest, it is a remembrance for a lot of us to get keep in touch with mm-hmm. our roots mm-hmm. and teach our grandchildren, because all our grandchildren are mixed with all different things. Mm-hmm. And I find for myself personally that the atmosphere of NDFS is one of inclusion, and it's one of just a wealth of knowledge and experience for so many people. So I thank you ladies for that as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
When I was leaving India, my great father-in-law said, "You are not only going as Nina Gadodia or a member of our family. When you go out of our country, you are an ambassador of your culture." Mm-hmm. Always remember
you're
that.
You're a representative.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
Right? It's like our fathers would say, when you leave this house,
yep.
my name, you are representing my name. So you have to yep. be kind, be loving, compassionate, empathetic. Make sure you have good manners, respectful, because I don't want to hear anybody saying anything about the family, because we'll get a big belt when we yep. come home.
Don't you know?
So Yasmin, give us the dates for NDFS and the location.
NDFS will be at the Wickham Park that we have had for the last however many years. They have built this new pavilion. It will be on March 8th and 9th. On Saturday, it will be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
Tickets are $8 adults, $4 children, 12 and under, and then the 5 is free.
Okay. And Rashmi, talk to us a little bit about the vendors, and will there be food? Because Danny here will have to get him to eat curry one of these days.
He's working on it.
You could take Tums before you go.
It's going good.
You could try the chicken tikka masala. That's my favorite.
So we have almost like a 10 vendors, food vendors, and then we're going to have some jewelry, some Indian clothing, some henna. So we have all different vendors and lots of different food and lots of different Indian drinks.
Yeah.
And we're going to have pizza also. So like a lot of young kids, when they are there, they don't particularly eat spicy or something. So they can grab that too. So it's going to be really fun time.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to that. When I went to the yoga presentation, I was like, oh, this is real yoga. I was like, this isn't the fake yoga I'm doing at the gym. This is like the real stuff. Because you really do. When I left that presentation, that particular one, I really felt like I felt something. It wasn't just like a, you know, a moment. You know, it was yes, really it was so true. Great.
Yeah. So this year the theme is about festivals.
Correct.
So tell for our listening audience who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Nina and Rashmi and Yasmin. They are the ladies, of course, with other people who have come forward for the last 28 years to volunteer and make India Fest happen, with sponsors and of course Wickham Park and the community. And it's amazing, and it's just wonderful to have this sort of thing here in Brevard. So this year it's about festivals. So talk to our listening audience a little bit about some of, I know there's 5 or 6 really famous festivals. So which ones are you all going to be zeroing in on on India Fest? We've got Holi, we know, and Diwali,
yeah.
right?
Sita, we will be doing a lot of my presentation about lot of festivals, mm-hmm. but the main one is our Festival of Lights, which is Diwali, and it worships the Lord Rama as well as Goddess Lakshmi, and it's about the happiness, the togetherness, and how we celebrate coming back home. Everybody celebrate the families getting together. So that is our Diwali. And then the Holi is usually in season of when the farmers get their crops completely harvest mm-hmm. season. And so it is about the happiness of that time that they all celebrate. That is the new beginnings of everything.
Well, who could forget Amitabh Bachchan and Cooley? Totally. I mean, that's how we grew up, you know, watching that over and over again.
So, you know, Holi is a very, very famous in India, our festival of colors. We throw colors on each other and make it fun. We did a color run a few days, few weeks ago with India Fest. And I know we cover a lot of festivals this time. We will be. And come there and you will get a chance to participate in that.
Right.
And I know the time is getting over.
Yeah. So what about Rashmi? Is it pet friendly? Because, you know, a lot of people here like to go with their pets.
No. Actually, we're not allowing the
service animal.
The service animal. We're going to have it. But
yeah, I'm afraid of dogs myself, so I would be afraid.
So we have 3 minutes left. So let us know if you guys have anything else you want to add to the segment.
Maybe, Rashmi, you want to mention some of the big sponsors.
So we have so many big sponsors. And this year, particularly, we have Health First also joined. And Mercedes of Melbourne, they are always Audi, Porsche, and Melbourne. They always be there. The BP Oil Company, MAB, cardiologist. Carol Distributing, L3 Harry is going to be really big this year. Chevron, Holiday Builder, Mike Edmonds Toyota, Space Coast Spine and Pain, Clear Channel Outdoor, Florida Tech, Sunoco, Truist, Florida Today, Shelter Mortgage, Exxon Mobil, Southeast Petro, MAB, Dr. Rajesh and Nikita. Adro, Endocrinology, Pepsi, and Dr. Shashi Bhai Patel.
Yeah, and L3 Harris always gets involved, which is so wonderful. That was
I'll take really quickly, we have many more sponsors.
And it's on your website.
It's just a matter of timing. We can't mention them all.
That's right. So
please
give us
the website.
Give us the website. And can you prepay for your tickets? Or do
absolutely.
You buy the tickets
there? IndiaFestBavar.org. Tickets can be bought online. Or, of course, we will have tickets at the gate as well.
Right. Danny, give him a few more minutes. Hold on. So Nina, if somebody wanted to get involved in IndiaFest, it's a long period of planning because you've got to be disciplined about the practices and who's singing, who's dancing, who's in the fashion. People have to pay attention and show up, right? So how long does it take to plan that part of the show, and how can young people get involved if they want to get involved, or even if someone is listening and they say, hey, I'd like to sponsor and get involved?
Absolutely. So just now, Yasmin gave all of you guys our website, and we have different tabs, and there is a tab for volunteering, there's a tab of sponsorship, a vendor, whatever you want to do. Whatever way you want to get involved. And also many of our committees' names are listed there, and you can directly contact them also if you would like to be part of it in any way, and welcome that. Other thing is word of mouth. We get so many new people involved because other people tell them. We have around between 9,000 to 10,000 people attendance over the 2 days. So it has grown like anything.
Well,
and
it's amazing.
Really,
we have to commend them on this. I don't know if I'll be as dedicated for 28 years to do it, because I mean, we're dedicated for 15 years.
I was just
going to
say, it's only another 10.
So Ali, you've been quietly listening. I'll give you a quick few minutes. I mean, a minute. Danny, give us 1 minute. What did you learn today? Because have you been to India Fest yet?
No, I haven't.
I
enjoy seeing that sort of thing on the TV. And it basically, your conversation took me back to growing up in grade school and the kinds of different people's cultures would be brought up at that time, which was kind of fun. We did a lot with the Seminole Indians and things like that. So. Mm-hmm. It should be easily brought into your life to add another interesting culture to understand and how we're
well,
all
well, you know,
different.
At the end of life, right, after yeah. working in nursing facilities for 37 years, I'm
sure.
watching the richest, the poorest, everybody yeah. ends up in those twin beds if you're ill or whatever. I think it is our responsibility as mothers of the planet, of the earth, to leave the world a better place than we found it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To leave a better footprint for our grandchildren and the next generation to come. And I do believe that festivals, events such as India Fest, that's the core value of what they promote.
Exactly.
Because it's such a feeling of warmth. When you walk in there, you're enveloped by people who want you to be there and are smiling and happy. And, you know, Indians are just people that just nod their head and just are so kind to you all over the world. I don't know if I have a quick minute when I went to Turkey. And, of course, I didn't realize I didn't have enough money for my hair and my meals, and all the Iranian relatives had gone off on an excursion. And there I was with my book, my Obama book, and I had a bookmark with, you know, my president's crap. And the guy said to me, "Hindi." And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he says, "You come." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Kebab." You know, but the thing is, it didn't matter that I was an American or Trinidadian or Indian. It was what mattered. I was Indian. Mm-hmm. And people know that I'm not a crook. Mm-hmm. I'm just a woman who wants a meal. I didn't have the money. I used it on my hair.
<All right. laughs>
I went in a beauty salon. Too many liras. So I think sometime being born Indian is such a privilege. It's such a pleasure. And I see a lot of videos about dark-skinned Indian girls and rich Indians and poor Indians, people plucked off a crowd, and they're going to be a movie star. And it warms my heart, because events like India Fest just shows me that my father was right, that we have to be proud of who we are mm-hmm. and our gene pool and mm-hmm. what God made us. And what a wonderful thing for Indian kids who are attending this and participating, and even regular people from all different backgrounds, diversity, that they're part of it, right?
Thank you, Sita, for saying that. I want to say something. There are good and bad people all over the mm-hmm. world, and in every culture, every country. And fortunately, there are more good people in the world than bad people. That's what I believe mm-hmm. in. And when you bring all the cultures together, it's just, you know, we learn from each other and grow. And that's why not only India Fest, any cultural festival, I think, is there for people to enjoy and learn and become more humble to understand that we all are same.
Yes. Well, you three are humility. So thank you so yes. much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For what you
thank
do.
You.
And, of course, Dr. Guy is on the phone, and his mother is from Sri Lanka.
Excellent.
And guess what?
Nice.
She taught me to eat sardines and bread.
Oh, excellent.
If you guys want to stay, you can. But Ellen, I think we should
take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. And we'll be right back right after these messages with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving financial group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends.
Thank you.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. We're back with our second segment. It was a great first segment with the ladies who are behind the brains behind India Fest. And Ellen, now our second segment is with Dr. Guy Puvindran. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7, and L all over the world.
That's
correct?
Right. 1510 WWBC.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we archive all the shows there as well. You can just look by date. Of course, it's every single Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
That's right. And so Dr. Guy is on the phone, and we're going to talk a little bit about regenerative sports medicine with him. He is a physician at Pro Institute. And so, Dr. Guy, take it away. Talk to us a little bit about your practice and yourself and how you got involved in regenerative medicine.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show. So I do regenerative sports medicine, which basically, if you simplify it down, is I try to make your body heal itself from injuries that it may not be able to normally heal on its own. So patients that have, or people that have tennis elbow that's not going away, or like rotator cuff problems, meniscus tears, things that are keeping them from doing their sports or their activities, or, you know, even their normal daily life, like picking up their children or their grandchildren. Sometimes these are very debilitating things that people need surgery for, and I provide them a really good alternative with a lot less downtime.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, I'm sure people want to know, what exactly is regenerative medicine? So talk to us a little bit, what exactly is it? And how, what in lay terms, right? Because people like, I see Ali shaking her head already. Talk to us about that, doctor.
I'm fluent, but just not in medical stuff.
So regenerative medicine, just like any other medicine, the key word is regenerate. So our cells in our body, or, you know, all cells in nature, they'll regenerate and they'll heal. So what regenerative medicine is it tries to make your body more favorable to healing itself and to repairing things when it normally wouldn't be able to, or it's not as good at doing it.
Right. And so what are some of the key therapies and techniques that you use in your practice with regenerative medicine?
So I think the most popular things, and things that maybe people are aware of, are PRP, which is called platelet-rich plasma, or stem cell injections. Those are probably the two most regular therapies that I use. So what PRP is I'll take some of your blood out, and we isolate the platelets. So if you think about when you get a paper cut or you cut your arm, you know, you get a little clot there. That's made by platelets. So we take those platelets and we put them in the area that's injured. And then what that does is it creates a little matrix, and then it helps to repair and heal the tissue. Stem cell therapy is similar, but we take stem cells. So if you're familiar with stem cells, they are the cells that can turn into any type of different cell and signal cells around them and communicate with them to do different things. So, you know, we have stem cells in all of our bodies, and we have active stem cells in all of our bodies. But what happens with some of these conditions is you don't have as many in the right area. So what we do is we take them from you, and then we put them where they're needed.
Right. Wow. Ali, interesting, huh?
Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. These are words I've not heard before about the title of your practice. Is that something I can look up in my phone book?
Maybe not in the phone book.
Ali, you just, Ali just gave away herself.
Okay.
Her age.
I'm 72. What can I say?
Ali just told all our listeners that she's over 70.
Yes, I'm over 70. What can I say?
So, Dr. Guy, give us the website where someone could go and learn a little bit about your practice and all the stuff you do.
Sure. Our website is pro-institute.com, and then that will give you a lot of educational information on the different types of therapies I do, a little bit of information about me, about the practice, and how we, you know, our philosophy about using yourself to make you heal kind of comes to the front.
Right. And I'm sure there's safety and ethical considerations as well, So what safety measures and ethical guidelines are in place in the field of regenerative medicine?
Yeah, so regenerative medicine is still kind of a wild, wild west because we are still a new and evolving field in medicine. The FDA does have some guidelines on what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. So for safety, the safety of these procedures is very, very good. There are very few bad outcomes with these procedures, especially when we're just using your own material to help you heal. The risks are not any more than any type of cortisone injection you may get. The ethical stuff kind of comes into play where there are these new emerging technologies that maybe quite haven't been vetted out yet. So when you Google or look in the phone book for regenerative medicine, you're going to come across all sorts of different practices, some that are like me that are really focused on you healing yourself and maintaining FDA compliance and making sure that we're doing things the right way. And then you'll have these clinics that will tell you that they can put baby cord cells into your arm and heal you. So those are kind of the ethical things that we have to watch out for when you're looking for these therapies.
So how do you know that you're a candidate for regenerative therapy?
So, I take it into consideration a whole bunch of things. So if you're, interested in that or you're looking into those types of therapies, the first step is obviously to see a doctor that specializes in this. I think a lot of patients will end up going to their primary care doctor or they'll go to even just an orthopedic surgeon that's not familiar with these procedures themselves, and they're doing themselves a disservice. Yeah. So what you should do is find somebody that specializes in this, the same way that when you have a heart problem, you go to a cardiologist. If you want to regenerate your shoulder, you should see a regenerative medicine doctor.
So these are like acute, I would assume this is like for acute injuries, though. So if you went out and broke your leg one day, obviously no, get a cast.
These are for chronic things, too.
Chronic.
These are arthritis, things that have been bothering people for a long time. Because this is not the most mainstream type of medicine, a lot of patients that I see have been struggling with something or putting something off because they just didn't want to do surgery. They didn't want to do anything about it. So I'll frequently treat injuries that are 6, 7, 8, 9 months old.
Wow.
Yeah. So what medical conditions or issues can regenerative medicine effectively address? Because there's so many things that you can do. But I'm sure there's some that you see more than others.
Yeah, my practice is more an orthopedic sports medicine-based practice dealing with pain conditions. So people that have back pain or sciatica, knee pain because of arthritis, knee pain because of meniscus tears, hip arthritis, tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, trigger fingers, things that, have debilitating effects on people. Those are what I treat the most. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff in the pipeline in some of the research sides. Like there's studies for Alzheimer's disease. There's studies for Parkinson's disease. There's studies for cardiovascular, like heart conditions that show a lot of promise. We're just not there yet on the science as far as dosing and what we need to do.
Yeah, so basically what you're telling our listening audience here on Viewpoint with Sita and friends, Dr. Guy Puvindran, is that the body can heal itself.
Absolutely. The body can heal itself, and I think we miss opportunities to do that a lot because we just go through the normal medical system where, I sprain my ankle and I go see my primary care doctor who sends me to the orthopedic doctor who sends me to physical therapy. And then if physical therapy doesn't work, he's like, well, let's just sew your tendon back together, sew your ligament back together, and then you're, not walking for 6 weeks to 8 weeks. So this is what I do, is I let you heal yourself so that you can do everything you want to do.
Yeah. And I'm sure, there's a lot of pushback, right? Because as we know, healthcare is a business. And
yep.
If you could refer from the attending, could refer to the endocrinologist, the cardiologist, the orthopedic surgeon. I mean, it's like everybody has their hand in the pot, right? So us lay people, like Ali's shaking her head, a lot of people don't hear about regenerative medicine because to me it seems as though it's something that should be marketed more. More people should be speaking about
it.
Or
referred, for
and,
sure.
And, yeah. And the population, the citizens, it's a disservice when they don't know about it. So would you say that there has been, like, some pushback against it?
Pushback against regenerative medicine?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of doctors or there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with it, and especially since insurance doesn't cover those procedures, you know, there is a bad habit of doctors to say, well, if you have to pay for it, it's not good. You know, if the insurance covered it, or if it was real, the insurance would cover it. And so that's like the pushback we feel. I think the other pushback is there's a lot of bad actors still in regenerative medicine. There's a lot of people doing sham treatments or doing treatments where they don't fully understand the science, and then the results aren't good, and then the patients, you know, talk badly about it, and then it gets a bad reputation in the community.
Yeah, well, that's why you have to choose a reputable provider, and that matters. So give us
right.
your website, and so if somebody wanted to go and learn more about you all, give us the website and learn about you, in fact, and how they could become a candidate, be screened.
Sure. So our website, again, is www.pro-institute.com. Our phone number for the office is 305-312-1951. You can talk to Kate or Geeta. They will go through all sorts of information with everybody.
Right.
And I'm looking on your blog right now, and I happen to look at the an overuse injury, and I see so many of my friends now, and I'm sliding headfirst into 60 myself, and I'm seeing so many of my friends now playing pickleball, like, for the first
mm-hmm.
time. And this aging population of us specifically seem to be a lot more active than we were even in our, you know, younger years. So do you see a lot of that as well, that, like, older folks that are still very active are having, like, overuse type of injuries?
Tennis,
not necessarily
elbow and stuff.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's – yeah, absolutely.
I always joke with my patients that I should rename it to pickleball elbow.
Yeah, I bet.
A lot more pickleball players than tennis players at this point. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's so many patients that are, you know, in their 50s and 60s that are trying to be more active because we know how beneficial exercise is. And then sometimes we get a little overzealous, we get things a little too fast, and then we have the overuse injury. But pickleball is one of the sports that keeps me in business. For sure.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, let's just advertise. Go play pickleball.
Exactly.
So advice for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Do you have any advice for listeners who might be considering regenerative medicine treatments in the future?
I think the most important thing that I can advise all your listeners to is see who's doing your procedure and figure out and find out how much knowledge and how much experience they have with that. Because there's so many people that tell, you know, I see on Facebook and Instagram ads every day about this regenerative medicine practice and that regenerative medicine practice. And it's a nurse practitioner that just finished school that's learning how to do these injections and charging lots of money for it. So my advice to your patients is, or your listeners is, find out who it is and find out what their credentials are to do these types of things.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, there's so – learning is something that every day we learn something new, right? And so
mm-hmm.
I'm sure in your practice and with technology and with education, because now everybody's – and their mother and brother and father is coming up with a new diet. They're coming up with new exercise regime. They're coming up with fast for 2 days, don't eat sugar for 2 days, don't eat salt for – whatever it is, but I'm sure you see that the future of regenerative medicine and how it's going to evolve. What do you think is going to be coming in the future with regenerative, regenerative medicine?
So I think the really cool thing, and we're getting closer to it. There's these things called exosomes, which send messages to your cells, and they can pass the blood-brain barrier and all that. So I think the future of regenerative medicine is that we can take those packets of information and put more efficient things in there to deliver it where it wants to be. So it's more targeted therapy than even what I'm doing. But that's still, 20 years probably down the road.
And I was very excited when you were saying that that studies were being done on for Alzheimer's and some of these other illnesses that people keep suffering from, or that we see even earlier and earlier in life now. Like I know Parkinson's and some of those other things have been affecting even some of my friends, which I was not expecting at all. So it's very encouraging to know that more of these types of diseases that have had been this big mystery of, you know, no idea where it came from, no real relative family history type of things to rely on to understand it. So who in the in that field is doing those types of studies and research?
Those are usually done a lot of the more reputable ones are being done at universities and university settings. So I think Cornell and NYU has a study going. Even there's a company that I'm working with at Nova Southeastern down here in Fort Lauderdale that's doing some cardiac research on those exosome products that we were talking about. Case Western is doing some stuff. I mean, there's a lot of like university-based studies for those types of treatments.
And I love the also on your blog, you have a lot of preventative things like boosting your immunity, the cold and flu season, which I know affected even it even made the news that it was like, you know, probably one of the highest that it's been in a long time. So what are some of the preventative things that people are doing through your organization to stay healthy?
Sure. So for people to stay healthy, they're doing some peptides. So peptides are kind of like little fragments of a protein that signal your body to do something. So we have some that stimulate your immune system. I'm huge into vitamin C IVs, again, to help with immunity, and zinc, which is another nutrient that helps with immunity. There's something else we do called ozone therapy. So ozone is, you know, the barrier that covers the earth and prevents us from getting the UV rays. And in a medical system or a medical setting, what we do is we can mix that with your blood, and that creates this huge immune-boosting response to help you recover from illness faster or, you know, not get illness. When I was working in South Beach during the peak of COVID and we were testing a lot of patients, I would do ozone on myself probably once every 2 or 3 weeks. I did not get COVID once in 3 years. Or at least if I got it, it was so asymptomatic I didn't even think to test myself.
Right. So Dr. Guy, can you share with our listeners some of the stories and cases where regenerative medicine made a significant impact on a human being's life?
Sure. So I have a pretty, you know, I have a pretty active population just by the nature of my field. So I think one of the great stories I have is it's like a 55-year-old gentleman that had really bad knee pain, and he had seen an orthopedic surgeon a couple times, and he'd had surgery to clean out his meniscus and try to do all this stuff, and he wasn't able to bend his knee or move or walk. So I did a procedure on him, or maybe two procedures on him, and he sent me a text message from Colorado a couple weeks ago showing him skiing.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like, there was no way I would have been able to ski if it weren't for you.
Right.
So that's a fun story.
So how can we help you to get the word out about regenerative medicine? Because it is fascinating. And, you know, I mean, it's a shame that the insurance companies wouldn't consider paying for some of these procedures, because I do believe they're doing a disservice to the patients, the clients, the people that could come there and, you know, get relief with their joints, their muscle pains, and all the other services that you offer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to help people understand what this is send them to my website, proinstitute.com. That will give them all sorts of information on the different types of cells that are allowed to be used and how effective they can be. There's some really good patient testimonials on there, or even on our Google reviews of patients that we've helped.
And how, I'm sure that people, when they come in there, they it's an experience, right? The treatments. So what can people expect during a treatment and the recovery phases?
Sure. So our practice, we try to make it as friendly and homely and family as possible. So, you know, you're welcome at the door. We take you back. You're sitting in a very comfortable chair. We have your name on the door so that you know it's your room for the day. It's kind of like going into the Four Seasons, I guess.
Thanks.
And then, you know, we take your blood, or we take, you know, your cells, and then we process them over the course of 3 to 4 hours. You're in the office. we then inject you, and then we send you home. And then the first 2-3 days is pretty uncomfortable. It's pretty sore. I give everybody my cell phone number. So I haven't actually had anybody take it up with me, but I've always told them, you can give me a call and you can yell at me and scream at me all you want, but nobody ever does, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of weeks, it starts to get better. Probably around 6 to 8 weeks, you're starting to notice a lot of improvement. And then somewhere between 3 months and 6 months after the procedure, it kind of peaks out. And then we decide if we need to go and do anything else or not.
Yeah. And there's a lot of myths out there, right? And myths out there about regenerative medicine. And one of them is that all stem cells are the same. So talk to our listeners about that, because people hear stem cell and the first thing they think, oh, about babies and embryos, right? So talk right. to us a little bit about stem cells. They're not all the same.
They're not all the same. So stem cells are, overall, they're cells that are able to change and differentiate and make themselves into different cells. So we have a couple of different sources of stem cells. There's the baby stuff that you're talking about. So they'll take placental blood or cord blood from a delivered baby or new baby, or there's the adult stem cells that we take from you. So we either take bone marrow, we take fat tissue and get the stem cells from there. But they're not all created equally. They have different things that they're good for. The umbilical cord cells and the placental cells usually end up being dead cells, and you're not actually getting any living cells from them because once you irradiate them and make them safe to be put into somebody else, you know, all the benefits are gone. The bone marrow stem cells tend to prefer to make some cells into like blood vessel cells so they can get nutrients to you more effectively. And then the fat stem cells tend to turn into other tissue a little bit better.
Right. Wow. The segment goes by so fast. We have a few
that
more
was
minutes.
Zippy.
And one of we want you to tell us a little bit about your practice specifically, and tell us a little bit about the services that you offer at that practice for listeners who are tuning in.
Yeah, so my practice, we start from the beginning, and we start with making sure your body is primed for healing with some of those preparatory things like the vitamins and the immune boosters and the peptides. And then we offer prolotherapy, PRP therapy, stem cell injections from either your fat or your bone marrow. And then we do IV nutrition, we do ozone therapy, we do a little bit of aesthetics too. So people that want to get their hair that are falling, their hair starting to fall out, we do PRP and stem cell injections into the scalp to help with hair growth. We do microneedling for the face to make you turn back the clock and improve your collagen on your face. We do a little bit of Botox, but that's not a huge thing I'm into.
Right. And so give us a website one more time before you leave.
www.pro-institute.com.
And somebody just sent me a quick question. Are the results from regenerative medicine, is it immediate and long, or is it and long lasting? Do you see the results immediately, or you have to wait a little bit?
You have to wait a little bit, but the results are long lasting. It's not like a cortisone injection where we're just, you know, blocking the pain signal. What we're doing is we're healing, and healing takes time.
Right. And so I was talking to somebody at the gym this morning, and the person says to me, does it help erectile dysfunction?
Oh,
and I said, well, I don't know. It's a bit of a Christian station, but I will find out.
It does.
Ooh,
Platelet-rich plasma therapy and shockwave therapy can help with erectile dysfunction and help reverse some of that leakage that men get as they get older to have firmer, stronger erections.
Well, how you like that, Ellen?
Excellent.
I'm going to have to tell the gentleman that it does help.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll give him the website.
That's an interesting friend conversation.
I'll give him the website, and it is a medical question, so we're good.
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much, Ellen. We'll take it from here. I'm so grateful you called in, and I know your mom was going to listen too. I'm so happy that you were able to do this today on President's Day for us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We'll make sure that we have that out. The podcast will be on our website, cedamediainc.com. We'll also share it with your the Institute so that way they can use it on your website as well. And thanks again, Ceda, for another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Ceda and Friends. Folks, tune in each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time,
right here on 1510 WWBC.